Okay, Vayechi, famous gematria, word Vayechi, Rabbeinu Bechai brings down the gematria of Vayechi is Vav Yud Ches Yud. Well, very fast. Yud and Yud is 20, and 8 is 28, and 6 is 34. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov lived 34 years. What are the 34 years? How old was Yosef when he was sold?
17.
So Yaakov had a life with Yosef. He had 17 years before Yosef was sold. As long as Yosef was alive, Yaakov was relatively happy. Even though he reminded him of Rachel, he was relatively happy as long as Yosef was alive. Yosef was sold, he's missing. When does Yaakov come down to see Yosef?
18 years
right
later.
Now? 22 years later, he comes down to see Yosef. In Mitzrayim. How many years did Yaakov move Mitzrayim? By Chi Yaakov, be Eretz Mitzrayim, Shavayas Reishonah, 17 years. Again, 17. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, 17 years that Yaakov had Yosef in the beginning until he was sold. Another 17 years
34.
That he was together with Yosef Mitzrayim is all together. 17 and 17 is 34. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov lived 34 years. 34 years of his life, he was together with Yosef. The other famous gematria in this week's parasha is, the pasuk tells us in Perik Mem Ches Pasuk Aleph, Bayomer Yosef, Hini Avicha Chayla. Behold, your father is sick, Yaakov is sick. And the Gemara brings down that Yaakov was the first one that became sick before he died. Up until then, a person just, when his time came, he died, sneezed and he died. Yaakov was the first one who became sick before he died. Gives a person time to prepare before Misa, and to say over what has to be said over, and to prepare his children and so on. Hine Bigmatria, this is from the Gra, everyone knows. Hine Bigmatria is Hey Nun Hey. Hey is 5, 60. Nun is 50, Hey is another 5 is 60. What happens after Yosef comes to his father? The Pasuk says, Vayitzchazek Yisrael, the next Pasuk Beis, Vayeshev Al Hamita. He sat up on the bed. Hamita is Hey Mem Tes Hey. Mem is 40, Hey is another 10 is 50, Tes is 9 is 59. So after Yosef comes, Yaakov is only 59 parts sick, not 60 parts sick. Remis, what the Gemara tells us, the one from the Vaka Chayla, someone comes to visit, a person is sick, takes away 1/60th of his sickness. So before Yosef came, Hine, behold, Yaakov was sick, 60 parts, fully. And when Yosef came, Hamita, Gemara says over, that's the
Gematria.
Hamita is 59. So he took away 1/60th of the sickness. So the Velti is the Kasha, if that's the case, let 60 people come, Adim Mevakeh Chayla, and all 60 people will take away a 60th each, he'll be left without, we have a refuah. And the answer is obvious. Each one only takes away a 60th of what's left. Not each one takes away a 60th of the original Chayla. So the first one takes away 1/60th of the original, the next one is like 1/60th of what remains, and so on and so on and so on. But each one that comes does take a little bit.
It's a limit. It's a limit.
Yeah.
It's a limit.
Limit, right. Right. Each one takes away a little bit of the sickness. And Rashi tells us, why was Yaakov by Yischazek Yisrael by Yeshiv Alamita? What does it mean by Yischazek Yisrael? And he sat up on the bed. So Rashi tells us, but even though Yosef is my son, I have to give him kavod. Mikam, we go out, we give kavod to the malchus. The Shechina.
Sorry, 100 people come. He'd only left with about 1% of the
illness.
No. Why?
60th, you subtract the 60th each visit, right?
Right, but only what's left.
Never reaches zero.
It never reaches zero. It never reaches zero.
Okay,
it reaches 1%, but it does subtract. Vayischazek Yisrael. Chazal tell us that the Shechina is l'mayla m'raish ha'chayla. The Shechina rests above the head of a chayla. When a person is sick, the Shechina Hashem is with a chayla. And when Yaakov Avinu was a chayla, the Shechina was with Yaakov Avinu. Say over a story, they once came to the Rishul Leib Diskin, Yerushalayim, they wanted to build a new hospital. And they came to the Rishul Leib Diskin to ask him for a bracha, that it would be successful in building the hospital, which was necessary. And they expected to hear a nice bracha and how good they were doing. Reb Shul Leib Diskin told them, "You want a bracha? Yehi ratzon shaloi tishra shechina b'maisi yedeichem. gave him a bracha, should be Hashem's rotzen. The Shechina should not rest in the work of your hands. It was a play on words. The bracha should have been Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina. Normally you give a bracha, Yehi Ratzon the Shechina should rest in the work of your hands. And he said Shelo Tishra. So they got very insulted. They said to him, are we doing anything wrong? We're building a hospital, which is necessary, and you're sort of telling us it shouldn't be matzliach. He said, you forgot Chazal. Chazal tell us, the Shechina rests above the head of a chayla. I'm giving you a bracha that the hospital shouldn't be necessary. There shouldn't be any chaylim. The Shechina should not rest in the hospital because there shouldn't be any chaylim who are in the hospital.
Nobody
was going to mess with you. Okay. Yehi Ratzon Shechina, the Shechina should not rest. B'maisei Yedeich. Okay. Brings to mind the famous story with the Chofetz Chaim as well, which we said over many times, that there's a need to build a hospital, and they got together, Chofetz Chaim and the Gevirim were each bidding, and one said, I'm donating one bed to the hospital. One said, I'll donate two beds. I'll donate three beds. I'll donate a bed. And the Yeshiva Bachrim was standing around, and one of the Gevirim made a little chutzpahdik remark, and he said out loud, and what are they going to give? What are Yeshiva Bachrim going to give? So Chofetz Chaim said, the Yeshiva Bachrim, you know what they're giving? They're giving that the beds shouldn't be used. They're giving, their Torah is protecting everybody, that the beds shouldn't be necessary in the hospital at all. The Pasuk tells us, a little bit later on in the parasha, V'yidgul arayv ha-kerv haras, ha-malach ha-goyal esi mikoro, famous Pasuk, Yaakov gives a bracha to Yosef right by Shlishi in Perik Memches Pasuk Tezayin. Hamalach Hagoyal Oisi Mikorah, the Malach who redeemed me from all bid. Yevarech Hasan Orim, you should bench the children. Veikarim Shvim Shem Mosai Avraham VeYitzchok VeYidgul Arayv BeKerev Haaretz, and they should multiply like fish. Arayv and multiply like fish in the land. What was the bracha of being like fish? What's unique about fish? Look, so Rashi tells us right away, Kadogim halog, like fish, sheparim v'ravim, fish multiply, ve'ein ayin hara shilates mehem. And the ayin hara has no power over fish. Why? Because partially they're under the water. Since you can't see, or even if you could see, there's a mechitza, the water's a mechitza between the eye and the fish. The fish are protected from an ayin hara. Yosef was zeichet to this bracha. Why? Because Yosef protected his mother Rachel from Esav. Because when Yaakov went to greet to meet Esav, Yosef went in front of his mother and he stood in front of her and he blocked Esav from seeing Rachel. Afraid that Esav would have a taiva, desire, have an effect. So he blocked his mother, he blocked Rachel from being seen by Esav. Because he blocked Rachel from being seen by Esav, he blocked Esav's eye, so to speak. He was benched with the protection from the Ayin Hara. But the tzaddikim svarim bring down the idea that fish are unique. What's special about fish? A kosher fish can never become unkosher. A fish that's born with fins and scales, that hatches, is born with fins and scales, even if it loses it, it's still kosher. A fish can never become not kosher. A kosher fish is always, always kosher, no matter what happens to it. It dies, it comes out of the water, whatever happens, it's kosher.
It doesn't eat shvi.
Any other animal, bird, even though it's born kosher, could become unkosher, could become a treif.
Improper shvi.
An animal, a cow is a kosher animal. If it doesn't have proper shechita, it's also teeth. If it dies, it becomes an aveilah, it's tamei. Anything else that's tohu, well, kosher can become tamei or unkosher. Fish is the only bria, the only creation that's kosher and always remains kosher. Can never become treif, can never become tamei, can never become unkosher. Yaakov gave a bracha v'yidgul arayv, that Bnei Yisrael, they should always remain kosher to tahar. No matter what they go through, no matter what goals they're in, no matter where they are, whatever the situation brings, they should be like fish. And they should always remain tahar. And a person has to remember that a yid is always tahar. Everyone has that pinta of a yid is always kodesh for tahar. Sometimes we fall, sometimes we all know, but a person could always do tshuva. A person deep down, everybody is tahar. And that's the comparison to fish. B'simcha Bura B'shischa brings down that fish have a ma'ila and a chesaron. Fish have a ma'ila, is that they multiply, v'yidgul arayv. The ayin hara has no power over fish. but there's a big chassar in my fish, and that is big fish swallow small fish.
Big fish eat little fish.
Big fish eat little fish. That's, and then the ocean has how fish survive.
Yeah.
The big ones eat the little ones.
Right.
That's a tremendous chassar.
And the little ones eat the little.
Yaakov even bracha v'yidgu l'roiv. You should be like fish.
Big fish.
For what aspect? L'roiv, meaning for multiplying the good aspect of the fish, but not chas v'shalom to be like the bid. The negative aspect of the fish of swallowing and hurting somebody else.
They, what
does the fish have to do with Aretz? No, he was speaking to human beings, the people. He said they should multiply, like fish multiply, the Karev Aretz refers back to Menashe and Ephraim. Karev Aretz. But they should take on the good aspects of the fish, which is the aspect of multiplying, not even ruled of Ayin Hara, and not the negative aspect of the fish of Chas v'Shalom going and swallowing and hurting somebody else. The Yaakov gives the brachas to the Shvatim. The pasuk tells us Yaakov gathers together the Shvatim in Perik Memtes Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra Yaakov el Bonov, he calls his sons, Vayoyim he osfu vagid lachem, gather and I will tell you, Esa sheyikra eschem, what will happen to you, ba'achres yomim, at the end of the days. And everyone knows Rashi tells us, if the pages don't stick together, Rashi tells us, anyway, I don't see it in a second, but Rashi tells us that Yaakov was Bikesh Gagalis Sakates. Yaakov wanted to reveal. Here, I'm sorry, Rashi's right here. Rashi's been right here. Vagidu Achem, Bikesh Gagalis Sakates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. He wanted to reveal when Mashiach would come, when the Guru would come. The Nestalkum Imen Mashchina, Mashchina was removed from him. The Hischel Oimed Devar Machayim. He started to say other things. He started to speak about other minyanim, and he gave out the brachas to each of the shvatim. But he did not reveal when the kates would be. Okay, everyone knows that the letters kuf and the letters tzaddik do not appear in the entire or in the brachas that Yaakov gave to his sons. The letters kuf and tzaddik are missing, which spell out the word kates. As a remez that Yaakov wanted to megala the kates, and Menashemayim did not let him reveal.
Egypt or kates of
Mashiach or the Gula, whichever Gula was. The kates, and they didn't let him reveal when the kates would come.
Is there a ches and ches?
No, it's not a ches and ches either. Chet is not either. It's not chet, it's not kuf and tzaddik. Everybody asked, the Magid says over very nicely, what would be so terrible if we knew when Mashiach would come, when the Gula would come? What would be so bad if
we give up?
It happened already.
From Egypt.
Yeah, but not now. What about now?
Not the Mashiach. No. But they are in Egypt. Okay. The brothers, they are in Egypt.
But they didn't know at that time either when it would come.
What?
They didn't know either at that time
when it would come.
What would be so terrible? What would be so bad if we with no Mashiach would come? We'll have a number of Mashiachs coming in this year.
Yeah, when? In 2079. We won't be here anymore.
Okay. Duno Magid says over very nicely. He says, this halacha in the Sefer Torah, a letter has to be mukuf gevil. What does mukuf gevil mean? A letter has to be surrounded by parchment. You can't write a letter right on the bottom of the amud, where the bottom of the letter reaches the bottom of the page. You can't write a letter right on top, where the top of the letter is on the top. You have to have parchment around the entire letter. All around. If you don't have parchment around it, it's possible. Halacha of mukuf gevil. In order to see an entire letter, to appreciate an entire letter, you have to see all around. You have to see around it, and when you look around, you have a full view of the entire letter. If you don't have a full view, you're missing the area around it, you don't have a full view of the entire letter. The same idea is true when it comes to Golos. When it comes to Golos, to have a full view, in order to understand, to appreciate a Golos, part of the Golos is that we don't know when it's going to end. That's part of the tsar of the Golos. If you would know when the Golos is going to end, would it be so much tsar? It may be difficult now, but we know in a year from now, it's ending. In 2 years from now, it's ending. In a short while, it's ending. It takes away from the Golos. Part of the suffering, the tsar of the Golos is not knowing when it will end. Knowing when the Golos is coming is sort of ending the Golos earlier. If you know when the Golos is coming, the Golos is ending already. You're already preparing, you know it's over. It takes away from the Golos. In order to have a complete Golos, part of that is, by definition, that we don't know when the gula, when the end is going to be. And fakert, since we don't know when the end is going to be, the tsar is definitely greater. On the other hand, our tefillos are also greater. Because since the ability exists, the possibility exists, that the gula can come at any second, at any time, we daven, we hope, wait every day for Mashiach to come. If we would know the Mashiach's not coming for another 10 years, we'd give up for 10 years, and suddenly we try to wake up at the end, Mashiach's coming, the gula's here. It's not for our benefit to know when the gula is. On the surface, it sounds nice, we know when Mashiach comes, but thinking into it, it's not to our benefit to know. It will take away from the tsar of Golus, and it will take away our hope, our tefillos, for ending the gula. And therefore, fakir, not knowing Golus, sometimes can help that the Golus ends earlier, because that's part of the tsar. And as soon as the tsar is so great, it's time for the Golus to end.
Could it end earlier? There's a second time when the Golus is coming.
Be'it achishena, the pasuk in the meal.
Every day there, we hope. If we're Zaycha,
Mashiach will come at any time. Hayoyim, what does the Gemara say? Hayoyim, Mashiach will come today. Today, Hayoyim in Mekhayo is Ishmo. If you listen to Hashem, Mashiach will come even today. Mashiach will come at any time. There is a time, which we don't know what it is. Besides that, it's possible that the time will never reach, never will come.
He'll come
sooner. He'll come earlier. So it's not good for us to know when the Gula will come, because fakat, we have the ability to bring Mashiach even earlier. Going through the brachas, so we come to the Shimon and Levi. And the pasuk tells us, the kahala maltechad kavodi. Yaakov gives a bracha to Shimon and to Levi, and it seems more of a musa shmuz that he says to Shimon and to Levi. The soido maltovay nafshi perik memtes pasuk vov, the kahala maltechad kavodi. In your gathering, your kahal, don't bring up my kavod, don't mention my kavod. So Rashi tells us, what is that referring to? The Kaholam. Kishiyakil Kairach, Shumishiftoi Shil Levi is Kol Ha'edah. When Kairach, who comes from Levi, gathers together the whole Edah al Moshe of Yaron, against Moshe and Aaron, al Teichat Kavoidi Shom, al Yisiyachid Imam Shmi. Don't mention my name. Yaakov asked that his name should not be mentioned together with Kairach. Like it says later on, Kairach ben Yitzah ben Kahos ben Levi. It says the Yichus of Kairach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahos, the son of Levi. V'loi Nema, it doesn't say Ben Yaakov, because Yaakov was mispalo that his name should not be mentioned with Kairach. Kairach was a Baal Machoikis, Kairach went against Moshe and Aaron. Yaakov didn't want his name mentioned by that parasha of Machoikis. B'kaholom al-Teichad Kavoidin.
It's Nishemes.
Say over, call
but it. They never mentioned any Yaakov in the whole Shemois. When they come to lineage of Ashurachim,
right.
There's no Yaakov ever mentioned. It always stops by Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda.
But it's going back to Moshe. Rashi tells us because in Pashas Vayir, Rashi tells us because since we mentioned Moshe and Aaron, we're tracing back the Yichlus of who Moshe and Aaron were.
Right.
So once we go Moshe and Aaron,
they do the Yichlus
Reuven, Shimon, Levi,
Shevet Yehuda.
So it doesn't mention Shemais at all. That's in Pashas Bamidbar first mentions.
I'm talking about Bamidbar. They never mention Yaakov.
Over there, just counting the Shvatim, the council right. They are. Doesn't tell us. It's not going back to Avraham
Avinu. Why were we worried about Kairach?
Because there it says it's Yichus. There it says, Kairach, the pasuk tells us it's Yichus. Ben Yitzhak and Kahos ben Levi. And Yaakov, yes, and Yaakov should not be mentioned. There's a moshul fable story they say over to illustrate the point of not getting involved in a machoikis. And to stay away from a machoikis. The lion is the king of the jungle. One day the lion roars. And when the lion roars, all the animals come running. All the animals come running to the lion. And the lion calls over the horse. And he says to the horse, come closer. The lion opens his mouth wide. And he says to the horse, what do you smell? And the horse tells the truth. It doesn't smell too nice. Sort of, it smells a little, doesn't smell too nice. The lion says, you rebel. You're rebelling against the king, and the lion eats the horse. The next day, the lion's hungry again, calls together all the animals, and this time he sees the wolf, calls the wolf over, what do you smell? So the wolf knows that from yesterday, he says the truth is no good.
Roses.
So he says it smells nice, it smells roses. The lion says, you're a liar, and he eats up the wolf. Okay. third day, the lion is hungry again. He calls together all the animals. And he calls the fox over. And he says to the fox, what do you smell? The fox is a sly animal. The fox thinks to himself, if I lie, the lion will eat me up. If I tell the truth, he eats me up. So what am I going to do? So the fox says, I have a cold. I can't smell. I can't smell. I have a cold. Okay, and the lion's stuck. The fox is saved. What's the point of the story? We come to Machlokes.
Doesn't need a point.
Don't get involved.
Back up.
Whether you're this side's right, that side's right, you're telling a lie, whatever you say, you get yourself into trouble. Even if this side's right, stay out of it. Machlokes is not yours. You don't belong in a Machlokes. Stay out. Your name should not be associated and mentioned with a Machlokes. Don't get involved. Because when you get involved in a Machlokes, you're only going to lose. Even if you pick the right side. And how many times people get in machlokes and they're blind, they become blind by what they see, by what they hear, and they don't verify the whole story, and you don't know the whole story, stay away from machlokes. When it comes to machlokes, I have a cold. I can't smell this side, I can't smell that side, stay out, and this way a person is saved.
I would have said a horse and a wolf I smell.
Fine. Feel free to change the story any way you want, no problem. Okay.
Good.
Vayar, Vayisachar, the Pasuk says, Vayar Menucha Ki Toiv. Yaakov is a bracha to Yisachar in Perik Mentes, Pasuk Yudal, Yisachar Chamogorem, Ravitz Mishchaim, Vayar Menucha Ki Toiv, Vesa Oretz Kina Ema. Yisachar sees that Menucha rest is good, the land is sweet, Vayet Shichma Elispo, he bears his shoulder to carry the yoke, a yoke of Torah, Vayhir Mas Oivet. And there were a lot of midrashim and vertlach said over on Yisachar Vayar Menucha Ki Toiv. The Chavetz Chaim asked, Torah says Vayet Shichmoy Lispo. Mashba Torah is a yoke. Yisachar lowered his shoulder to bear the yoke of Torah. On the other hand, we know Chazal tell us that Torah is Mesukah Medvash. It's sweeter than honey. Torah is compared to honey. It's sweet like honey. It's a little hard. It's Torah oil. Vayet Shichmoy Lispo. He lowered his shoulder to bear to carry the yoke of Torah. Well, is Torah sweet like honey? What is Torah? Is it a yoke? Is it sweet like honey? And the Chavetz Chaim tells over the famous Moshe story, different versions, but here goes one version of the story. There was once a diamond dealer, and he traveled far away, and he bought diamonds, and he was ready to leave and come back with a satchel, a bag full of diamonds. His last day, he spends his money, he only has enough to pay for the trip home. Before credit cards, he doesn't have enough money. He has just enough money to spend for the trip, for the fare on the way home, and for some food. He spent every other penny that he has on diamonds. Right before he's ready to leave, he gets a knock on the door. Somebody shows up and says, I hear you're a diamond dealer. I have beautiful diamonds to sell. Would you care to take a look? He says, I'm sorry, I'm out of funds. I can't buy it right now. And he says to the diamond dealer, I'm telling you it's worth your while. These diamonds are precious, they're clean, they're pure. You've never seen anything like it. It's worth it. Take a look at them. I can't. I don't have any money left. I have to leave. You're giving up the chance of a lifetime. Take a look. Okay, I'll take a look. And he pulls out the diamonds. He shows it to the seicher, the diamond dealer. Taka never saw anything like them. Beautiful diamonds. And he's at a loss what to do. Finally, he managed to say, how much do you want for it? Names a price. Just exactly the amount of money that he has for his fare, for his food, for his stay, for his lodgings, for everything he needs on the way home. Just enough money.
He's
debating it with himself. Should he, shouldn't he? This is a deal of a lifetime to buy these diamonds, and the price is right. Finally, he decides to buy it. And he gives his last penny, and he buys the diamonds. And now he has no money for his fare. He has no money to travel home, to eat on the way home. And he has to schnorr. In order to get home, he has to go ahead and schnorr a ride here, a wagon here, a ride here. He has to beg for food. And as he's traveling, it's taking a very long time to get home. But he knows he has those diamonds in his pocket. He comes into a town. He begs for a place to stay. They tell him there's the Achnosis Arkham house with the Aniyim, where the poor people sleep. Go there, they'll give you a bed, they'll give you a meal and a bed. And he goes to the Achnosis Arkham house, and he spends the night there, and he eats the food with the Aniyim, with the poor people, sleeps on the straw mattress on the floor, and he lives like an Ani, he travels around. One day he meets one of his friends, one of the diamond dealers, and he sees him sleeping in the Achnosis Arkham house. And the friend says to him, "Oy vey, what happened to you? You were such a wealthy diamond dealer. You were such an usher. And you, now you're sleeping in the poorhouse, in the Achnosas Archim house. What happened to you? Oy, should I help you out? Do you need any money? What happened to you?" And the diamond dealer starts to laugh and he says, "It's all worth it. It's all worth it. Because I made the deal of the century. I have my diamonds with me. Even though now it's difficult to come home, but I know that once I come home, I'll be able to sell them. I'll be able to earn money. I'll become a rich man. It's worth it, all the suffering that I have along the way." Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Nimshel is quite obvious. We go through this world. Nope. We try to gather diamonds, we're down here. The diamonds are diamonds that we're able to use after 120 years. They'll bring up to Shemayim after 120 years. How do we gather diamonds? A mitzvah here, a tefillah here, tefillah betzibur, a baruch hu baruch shmoy, amen, a bat gemara, learning, a mishnah, mechaparayim, diamonds are him, diamonds are her.
It's worth it.
But it's difficult sometimes. It's hard. You're going out on a cold night like this? How could you go out on a cold night like this? What happened to you? Nebuchadnezzar, you have to go out on a cold night like this? Oh, it's so early in the morning. You have to wake up so early in the morning to go to shul. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. You have to go. It's difficult. Oh, it's so expensive to buy this mitzvah and to pay for that. Oh, how could you do it? It's difficult. But what does a yid do? Taps his pocket. He's gathering diamonds. He puts the diamonds in his pocket. And he knows that it's all worth it. Torah is mesukah medvash. It's sweeter than honey. But sometimes, in order to earn it, to be zeichet to it, vayet shichmai lispo. Person has to lower his shoulders to carry the yoke. Torah has to earn it. He has to work for it. It's not always easy. It's hard. If anyone says it's easy, probably exaggerating a little bit. We all know it's hard. This week was hard. Come out, every night to come out this week was hard. It was a cold week. Yeah. And yet, we did it. So a person understands that it's not this world. It's the diamonds that we gather for the next world.
I got chased out of
the Chazainish. The Gemara says, Noshim and Makas, what schusim do the Noshim have? They waited for the husbands to come back from the Beis Medrash. They waited up at night for the husbands to come back. So the later you come back, the biggest chus, okay. The Chazon Ish once met the Baal HaSulam. Baal HaSulam was a Pirish on the Zayar. And the Chazon Ish once met the Baal HaSulam, the one who wrote this Pirish on the Zayar. And the Baal HaSulam said to the Chazon Ish, Vayar Menucha Kitayv. The Pasuk starts off, Menucha, rest is good. Vayet Shichmoy Lispoil. He lowered his shoulder to bear the yoke. If rest, the Pasuk seems to be saying rest is good, and somehow he had to bear the burden of rest. Menucha, a person, menucha is good. Menucha is not carrying a burden. What's the burden of menucha? The Baal HaSulam told the Chazon Ish that the pshat is the following. That Yisachar, vayar menucha kitayv. Yisachar saw that rest is good. But what did Yisachar do when he had time to rest? How did he use his downtime? How did he use his rest time? He then took that time and he lowered his shoulder to use his own time to carry the yoke of Torah, to learn. When a person goes ahead and he has menucha and he has that time to rest, he has the off time, he has the day off, he has the time, and instead of just resting, he lowers his shoulder to bear the yoke of Torah. Oh, that's how one is kind, that's how one acquired, that's how one acquires Torah. And the Chazon Ish would say this over many times, and he would say that if a person uses his time, when he has free time, and he uses it to learn, then even when he's not free, he gets schar for learning also. Because he shows that if his time would have been free, if he would have had the free time, he would have used it for learning. Now, he's anonymous. He has to work. Now he has to take care of whatever has to be taken care of. There are things everybody has to take care of. But if he shows when he has the free time, the free day, he doesn't waste it. He uses it to learn. So that shows that every day, if he would have had that time available, would have used it. Rest is good. But what do you do with it? Why is it good? Not good to enjoy it. It's good to be able to use. He took what was good and he used it to serve Hashem, to learn Torah. The end of the story. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky brings down a medrash on the parasha. The parasha says, "Hamalach hagoyel esi mikoro, the malach who redeemed me from all bid, yivarich esan arim, v'ikarim shviri v'shem avaysai Avraham, v'yitzchak v'nulor v'kerev haaretz." The medrash is the following. Medrash in Bereshis Rabba, "Hamalach hagoyel esi," says the medrash, "Parnasa, earning parnasa, is twice as hard as a lady giving birth, as childbirth. It says, by childbirth and Pashas Bereshis, Be'etzev tel divonim. Be'etzev means with sadness, with difficulty, give birth. When Hashem told Adam about the Parnassah, the land growing food, Be'etzavon techlena kol yimechayecha. The words Be'etzavon, not Be'etzev, Be'etzavon, which means Lashon Rabbim, double Etzev, double sadness, double difficulty. So Parnassah is twice as difficult as the Medrash, as a lady giving birth. Continues the Medrash, and the Medrash says, Hamalach Hagayol Isi. Geula comes through a Malach. Who brings the Geula? Hamalach. Hamalach Hagayol Isi. The Malach brings the Geula. But Parnassah, says the Medrash, comes directly through Hashem, like the Pasuk says, Peseach Es Yodecho, Umaspir Achol Chai Rotsa. Hashem, open your hand directly from Hashem's hand. And Rav Galinsky was once asked, why is it that Parnassah comes directly from Hashem? And second of all, Chazal tell us that Koshem is a noise of Shalodom Kekriyas Yamsuf. A person's mizoinus, earning his Parnassah, his food, is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the connection? Like Kriyas Yamsuf, what's the pshat? And he answered with a beautiful story. There was a family in Poland, going back to the early days, and Poland, life was difficult, Parnassah was difficult, it wasn't easy. And everybody heard about the gold in the Medina, about life in America, the roads are paved with gold. And there was a young boy in the family, a teenager, and he proposed to his parents that they send him to America, and he'll be able to earn money in America after all the streets are paved with gold, and he'll send the money over to Poland, and eventually be able to bring them over. And the parents at first didn't want to hear of it, because after all, in America, what will be with his Yiddishkeit? What will be with his Frumkeit, being a Yid? What will be with Shabbos? And he promised them that he was going to keep Shabbos. He's going to remain the Erlich Yid that he was. He'll still keep his payas. He's going to be that same Yid that he was. He's not going to change. He'll keep Shabbos. He'll keep Kashrus. And finally, the situation deteriorated. The Parnassah was quite difficult. And they agreed to send him to America. And they made him promise that he would write letters and keep in touch with them. He comes to America, and the roads are not paved with gold. Nope. It's quite difficult. He gets his first job. Shabbos comes. He doesn't work on Shabbos. Monday, he finds a new job. And it's quite difficult every week looking around. He finds some very low-paying job, and he's able to keep Shabbos. And he writes letters to his parents. In the letters, he says to keep Shabbos, and everything is fine. Parents are a little suspicious that maybe things aren't the way they sound. They hear stories, they're not sure. So they write him a letter, please send us a picture. We want to see what you look like. We want to see if he still looks like a Yid.
Sorry.
You're going back in 80, 90 years ago. Okay. Send us a picture, we want to see what you look like. Of course, they wanted to know. He still has payas. Is he wearing a yarmulke? Is he still an Erlich Yid? Or did he chas v'shalom let it all go? Did he change? The son gets the letter, and he knows he has to send a picture. He's all worried because life in America isn't the way he thought. Instead of dressing nicely, he only has a shmatis. He's not dressed properly. He's wearing shmatis.
No. Oh no!
His payas he still has. He's still an Erlich Yid, but he's not dressed. He can't send the picture back home to his parents dressed in his rags and his torn clothing. So he has a friend who has a nice suit. He borrows a suit from his friend. He manages to get himself a nice haircut. And he fits on the suit nicely. He borrows his nice shiny shoes. And he sends back a picture where he's dressed looking like a very successful young man. Well, with his payas, his yarmulke. He sends back a picture looking like a Yid, but he's dressed. He's dressed as a man of success. This way his parents won't worry about him when they see the picture. His parents receive the picture in the mail, and they're ecstatic. Not only is he still an Erlich Yid, but he's a successful businessman, and their joy knows no bounds. Soon they hear about one of the people in their town is traveling to America, traveling to New York. You're traveling to New York? Let's send him a package. And they quickly make for their son a package, send him some pictures, they send him some food, they make a nice package from home to send to their son, and they give it to the traveler, they give him the address, that's the return address on all the letters, and tell him our son lives there, please bring it to him. And he says, how am I going to recognize, I don't know who your son is. Wait, we have a picture! And they give him the picture of the son dressed in the nice new suit, the shiny shoes, smiling face, and they gave it to him and say, you go to this address, and when you see this person, you give him the package. Don't give it to anybody else. He travels to America, comes to New York, tracks down the address, knocks on the door, and this boy in young rags and shmatis, unkempt, and opens the door, and the traveler standing there, takes out the picture, looks, sorry, he says, do you live here? Is anybody else here? No, I live here by myself. Sorry, not for you. And he walks away without delivering the package. So, Rabbi Yaakov Vilinsky, what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? Chazal tell us that before, during Sheshes Mei Bereshis, Hashem made a t'nai with the Yamsuf would split from Bnei Yisrael. Yoyim Hashishi is from Matan Torah, Hashem made a t'nai that be Kriyas Yamsuf, there were certain conditions Hashem built into the Bria already at the beginning of the world. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? The Yamsuf takes walk and says, Halolo of the Avodah Zorah, the Halolo of the Avodah Zorah. The Mitzvahs from the Avodah Zorah, the Yidus from the Avodah Zorah. I should split for them? I made a deal with you, Hashem, I'll split for Bnei Yisrael. They don't look like Bnei Yisrael. They look like of the Avodah Zorah. The Pasuk tells us, V'hamayim lehem chayma. Chayma is spelled without a vav. It means the water was a wall. But it says, Ches Mem Hei, the Medrash brings down Chema, that the water, the Yamsuf was angry at Bnei Yisrael because of a various they had done. And the water wanted to drown Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem had to intervene. And Hashem said, you may not recognize them as Bnei Yisrael, but you can't hold what you did against them because they went through tremendous yisyonis, tremendous challenges, tremendous difficulties in Mitzrayim. You can't hold it, you can't hold it against them. I recognize who they are. They are Bnei Yisrael. They are Bnei Avram Tzav Yaakov, and therefore split for them. Mizaynus, Parnas is the same way. Mizaynus of Shel Adam, Ketsuvin Loi Mei Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, it's set how much Mizaynus, how much Parnas a person earns, is Zaychetu throughout the year. If it's given over to a Malach, and during the year, the person is supposed to have Mizaynus, have Parnas. So the Malach comes, knocks on the door, takes out the picture from Rosh Hashanah, and says, oh, I'm looking for this El Chayyid, Rosh Hashanah, or Davind. He was standing at Shul Rosh Hashanah, when Anais had this upon him, and he was serious about his davening, serious about doing tshuva, and I'm coming to deliver the parnasa that was decreed for him. And he looks at the picture from Rosh Hashanah time, says to me tshuva, and the Malach says, it's not the same person. During the year, this person did averis, doesn't look the same, wrong address, can't deliver it. Hashem has to intervene. Hashem says, no. That was Rosh Hashanah, but a person during the year, the challenges, the difficulties the person goes through, it's the same person. Deep down, that person is an El Chayyid. That person is Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And therefore, Hashem has to intervene to deliver the Mizaynus. As Rabbi Yaakov Vilinsky, that's the Pshat. Mizaynus is like Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem, Takas set, you should have Parnassah, you should have Mizaynus. This should be Kriyas Yamsuf. But, sometimes we fall. And therefore, the Malach can't be the one in charge of giving out Mizaynus, because the Malach doesn't recognize us. It has to be Dafka Hashem who comes and gives us Mizaynus. Hashem is the one who recognizes and understands the Nisyonis that a person goes through. Nice word. Maisa, we're coming in the middle of the winter right now. It's the cold days of the winter. This place would be the coldest in a long time. It's cold outside. And Fakert. I didn't hear any complaints. Mehati. But, for a person to come out, everyone deserves a lot of credit this week for coming out in a cold night. It's much easier to curl up under the covers and say goodnight. It's hard to get out at night. And yet, come out every night. Big schus. When the malach look at us, the taka say, oh, hello, that taka b'nei avramis with Yaakov. The machshiv tired to come to learn, shtaka ol bizaycha, we should be able to continue learning, because brachshiv is the kayach, to keep on learning, and overcome the nisyanis that are sent in our ways, and we should all be zaycha, to parnasa, yeshuas, yifuas, the chomis, and the shimis, yashiv, shakim, heri, remain, amen.